Welcome back to the Wall and Paw Pack Church Podcast. I am your host, Pastor Ken Platt, and this is your One Step Weekly. At Wall and Paw Pack Church, we want you to know God in a way that would transform your life. Grow in that relationship with Him so you can go and tell that story of transformation to other people. These aren't steps that are taken exclusively from one another, but often they coincide with one another. As I seek God, He draws near to me and changes the way I see things, and then I want to share that with other people. This is at the very core of the One Step Weekly. The Apostle Paul tells us to be transformed by a renewing of our minds, thinking differently, seeing the world differently, and adopting new thought patterns that line up with God's Word. And then we take those new thoughts and we put them into action. A faith without works is dead, and I want your faith to thrive and be transformative in your life and those that you're in contact with each and every day. So we're currently in the middle of a series of teachings regarding the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount. And as I've mentioned in previous podcasts, there are copious amounts of teachings regarding the Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to read the Sermon on the Mount, it is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. But for a primer outside of this podcast, I do recommend The Good Life by Dr. Derwin Gray. And then if you've read that and you're like, yeah, that's good, but I want to go deeper, I would recommend The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which is a Christian. It's a classic. And the Sermon on the Mount is a masterclass in what it is to be a follower of Jesus. This is not a teaching that is meant to make you feel all fluffy inside, but it is here to challenge your status quo. So nowhere do we receive as much challenge regarding mercy as when it comes to our relationships with other people. Relationships are the proving ground for our personality and growth. And I can be the most devout churchgoer, most prayerful person you have ever known, memorize the Bible, but if I have not learned how to show mercy and love to my neighbor, then I'm missing the mark. And Jesus teaches this when he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." The first thing I thought of when I started to work through this was my capacity for mercy. But secondly, a game that I used to play as a kid, and maybe some of you other playground savages have played this as well, but the game was called Mercy, and it was a test of strength, but it was also a test of your endurance of pain. I'm not saying it was a good game, but it does carry some parallels. You and one other person would put your hands together as if you were doing a double high five, and then you would interlace your fingers with the other person. Then on the count of three, you would try and bend the other person's fingers back. The game would go on until the loser would call mercy because of pain or because they gave up. And the winner would then release and the game was over. But it was the choice of the person with the power to show mercy and to practice it. As of this recording and writing of this podcast, it is Good Friday 2021, and this day is ultimately about mercy. Mercy is the action of a stronger party granting a weaker party relief from pain or difficulty in situations that they have no control in. When we see a beggar on the street, it's an act of mercy to give them food. When people are weak, they are mercifully cared for by the strong. And the entire healthcare field in ideal settings is about caring for the weak. It is about being merciful. I remember when I was in the hospital about 15 years ago with a broken leg, and one of the girls who was in my Bible study was actually also my nurse for that time. Her name was Jen. And I remember how deeply and how beautifully she cared for me. For she was my nurse, but she was also a good friend of mine. And I just sat there and as I'm laying there and she's like wiping my forehead with a cool cloth and thinking, this is mercy if I have ever seen it. My mom's a nurse. And so just that whole field says, how do I care for people who can't necessarily care for themselves? But mercy is not just like foolish playground games or healthcare, but it is the practice of a Christ follower that was displayed most obviously by God the Father through Christ the Son. When you read the Old Testament, there's a clear cycle of how God interacts with his people. God establishes a standard for his people. Then the cycle goes like this. God establishes a standard for his people to live. They stand by those standards for a period of time, but inevitably they stop following those standards. They rebel against God. And then their rebellion against God lands them in difficult situations they can't get themselves out of. and then they cry out for mercy. This might be in the situation of the people oppressed by Egypt, and they cry out for mercy. If you look in the book of Judges, that cycle, they go through that cycle over and over and over again with each and every judge. But you see this in the wider narrative of the Old Testament. See, these people, once they get to this point where they can't deliver themselves, they don't have the power, then they cry out to God for mercy, because they recognize that while they don't have the power, God does have the power. They know God has the power, and if he wants to, he can release them. Now, God is not obligated to help them. They broke the promises. They walked away. They got themselves into the situation. But God, in his mercy, steps in to save them, reestablishes the boundaries of the relationship, and continues to provide. Jesus does the same thing throughout his ministry. And the cross is Jesus' ultimate display of mercy by God. In our sin and shame, we have great dividers between us and God. In fact, our sin and our shame gets us into so much trouble. And the deeper into our sin we go, the deeper the shame goes. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned against God by eating that fruit, it wasn't just a matter of the sin, oh, I did something bad. But then God comes to call on them, and they're hiding from God. They hid from God because they were full of shame. You know, if you've ever seen, you know, when you have, when something bad is happening in your house, if you have small children, often it gets really, really quiet and they're hiding. I remember my daughter cut her own hair one day and we found her hiding in the closet, right? Because she knew that what she had just done was not okay. And one of the things I immediately did, it was one of my better moments as a parent, is I just looked at Renee and I was like, this is actually a place where we really need to show mercy for this situation, even though her bangs were completely messed up. But to show her, like, she doesn't have to be ashamed, that we love her, that we care for her, and that our relationship isn't broken with her. See, the first picture of shame, as said in Genesis chapter 3, like, we do the same thing. When we sin against God, we hide because maybe we don't believe that we're going to receive mercy from God, or maybe that we're unworthy of mercy. But God shows that he wants us to live out in the open by mercifully taking on the burden of our sin on the cross and experiencing the separation from God on the cross in shame. That's what happens, is we become new, and Jesus takes on our shame and our sin on the cross and therefore restores our relationship with God. You know, I say this all because this is who we're called to be. It is easy to be angry or frustrated with somebody and fail to extend them mercy. We withhold mercy when we treat someone who is different than us poorly. We act mercilessly when we attack other people for beliefs that differ from ours, whether it's politically or socially, or even in the sense of daily tasks. Have you ever come down on somebody with a powerful ferocity because they were breaking your personal protocol? They were driving in the wrong lane. They put the toilet paper on the wrong way. They left the cap off the toothpaste again. They didn't load the dishwasher properly. They spilled the milk. They made a mess. Whatever. Just pick one. But when we act, maybe you're a person who flies off the handle and you yell or scream. Maybe you're someone who gives the silent treatment. That is not an act of mercy either. But in those ways, when someone breaks our protocol, we have a choice as to whether or not we are going to act mercifully towards another in that situation. See, a merciful person grants love and patience and forgiveness when wrath is an option. A merciful person steps into a situation to care when apathy is an option. See, you're not obligated to show other people mercy. In fact, most people will walk right by. Jesus tells a story of a Samaritan, and in that culture, the Samaritan was a half-breed. It was somebody who, in Jesus's people, they did not give Samaritans respect. And so he tells the story of a man who was on his way out of Jerusalem, and it was called the Jericho Road, and this Jericho Road was incredibly dangerous. And people who walked along it were regularly robbed and beaten and left for dead. And so this man goes down and he's robbed and he's beaten, he's left for dead. Two religious people walk right by. because they don't want to be marred by the dirtiness of what has happened to that man. But a Samaritan, someone who has zero obligation to help, helps up this person who isn't of his culture, helps up the person who he doesn't need to, and he cares for him. He cleans his wounds. He brings him to an inn. He provides for him. Again, not obligated. But the mercy he showed, but mercy, the call of mercy made him act otherwise. And Jesus said to the people, he says, like, who was the merciful one? Was it the religious leaders who just walked by, or was it the Samaritan? And the people of Jesus' time, like, they get convicted by that stuff, because how could a Samaritan ever do a good thing? And Jesus is saying, exactly. You need to put mercy at the top of what you do. You have a choice of mercy. And if you desire to receive mercy from God, there's another parable that talks about that. As much as mercy as we grant others is the mercy that we will receive in the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive our daily sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. That's a matter of mercy, and it's a matter of reciprocal mercy. Are we going to grant mercy? Because that's the mercy that will be given to us. We have the choice of mercy, and if you desire to receive mercy from God, then you yourself need to begin acting in a merciful way. So your one step today is this: understand the mercy which has been given to you, and then I want you to pass it on to others. And you have to do this by being honest with your standing with God outside of his mercy and grace. Like, if God's grace and mercy didn't exist, like, what would your relationship with God be? See, you and I are deeply rebellious against him, and we don't deserve his mercy. In Titus 3, 4, and 5, it says, but when the kindness and love of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because we're good people, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So consider the mercy you've been given and be intentional about giving it to other people. The mercy we give is not based on the merits of others, but it's based in the work that Jesus has done for us. So may you realize the depth of mercy given to you through the blood of Jesus on the cross, and may it be a powerful catalyst for you to give mercy to others. Please make time to rate, share, and review, and we hope to see you at our Good Friday and our Easter Sunday services. God bless you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.